Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 165, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. With me, as always, is my co-host Derek. What's up, Derek?
Oh, not too much. How are you?
I'm good, man. I have a leak in my house.
That's a bummer.
But that's about it. Yeah. Nothing. It's not a horrible leak, but it's been raining, and sometimes you get a leak, you get a leak in your house.
Well, so as you get older, like things start to leak, you know. So I can see that you're an old guy.
yeah. So if you guys hear some commotion, that's the people coming to fix it. So
yeah.
But in any case,
should we be expecting like hammers and saws and stuff?
I would hope not. I hope it's not that type of okay. thing. Hopefully, like, it's an easy fix, but you never know these days.
So. No, you do not.
Yeah. So let's talk about tech, man. Let's talk about what's going on. And first things first, let's talk about our reviews this week. We got three reviews done. The first one, Ryan did, and it is the FSP CMT340. So typically, we know FSP for their power supplies, really good power supplies. And they showed off some cases at CES, and they sent us one. And it's actually a decent case. I think when it comes to cases like this, the price is what it's all about right. for this. So this is a $99 case with two tempered glass side panels. Two tempered glass panels. The front and the main side panel are tempered glass. But you also get four 120mm ARGB fans.
That's pretty good.
For $100.
$100, yeah.
Yeah, for $100, I think that's a really good deal. Ryan put it best in the review where he said, like, this is a great case that if you're building a system and you don't want to, like, mess with RGB stuff later, like, you know, you have to figure out, okay, do I want Corsair fans? So what fans do I want? How many do I need to buy? You know, all this. Like, this, you're pretty much set when it comes to, like, the fan, like, RGB fans. Like, you know, this fills up. I don't think there's any top cooling in this. I don't believe. I could be wrong.
No, there's room.
Oh, there's room up top. So
240,
you have
280.
Yeah, you have three fans in the front and one in the rear. I mean, that's decent cooling for this. You know, so again, you don't really have to worry that much about adding more fans if you really don't want to on this. So again, it's just like a case that you can build in, super simple, $100, like, you know, done and done. Whereas if you're going to go, say, like the higher end Corsair fans route, I mean, you're looking at over $100 for three fans.
For the fans, yeah. And the controller.
Yeah. With the controller and everything like that. You know, so.
It's probably not the best RGB kit, but I mean, for the dollar amount, it's the best you're going
to
get.
Yeah, it's one of the ones that I believe you can connect it to your motherboard, but it also does have a controller that you can change modes in.
Right.
So it has a centralized,
like a cycle button at the top.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does have a centralized fan controller, for those fans as well. So you can cycle through all of that. But this case is really narrow. It's one of the most narrow cases, but, FSP claims it's the smallest case to fit a 360mm radiator in it, which I believe is in the front.
Yes,
it's in front. But it's not going to be the thickest radiator by any means. Especially, you're definitely, with the spacing there, you're definitely not going to be able to push-pull on that.
Well, it's got, the cutout isn't terrible. If you don't, he's got his GPU cables running from the front. If you didn't have to, if you ran it from the side, I think you could probably, you're probably right. It'd have to be a pretty thin radiator to do that.
Yeah, maybe like those, remember those Silverstone ones we reviewed a while back?
Yeah, those AIOs like or, I mean, EK Bits, not Bits Power, EK Off Cool. Who else would make one that's that thin? XSPC, sure. They all probably make one that might do the job. But, like, you're sacrificing a lot when you go that thin, a lot of cooling performance, and it's questionable whether the added fans is better than the extra surface area. So,
yeah,
I would guess the trade-off is not worth it.
The one thing with this case that I definitely, like, even when I saw it at CES was there's not a whole lot, there's no ventilation really in the front. There's a thin slit between that glass panel and the chassis. but there's no real ventilation. So again, we've seen this with so many cases that want that sleek look with those, you know, RGB fans in the front, but you don't get what you'd really want as far as cooling performance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're just not going to get the airflow. So you're probably better off just with three fans on a radiator moving nice and slow, because you're not going to get the draw anyways. So
yeah, yeah.
It's kind of a bummer. I think it's a good-looking case, though.
I think it's a good-looking case. I think you're getting a lot of value with four fans included. I can't remember the last time I reviewed a case that came with four included fans. Yeah. Like, that's a lot.
Years ago.
Yeah. So, and they're ARGB fans, which is obviously a plus. So I think for $100, I don't think it's that bad of a case by any means.
I think, well, it's obviously it's a steel case, and then they also save money. It's not a hugely organized case. Like, it's missing a lot of the like tie downs and stuff that you'd see with other cases. A lot of little built-in things are missing. It's almost like it's a pretty moddable case, I would actually say. It's just a lot is left up to the end user. It's not,
yeah, and it's
not
like
all
I said,
designed
it's a little
out.
It's a little more compact than other cases too. But again, it comes down to pricing. But I think if you're like building your first PC, or like you just want something that's going to look cool, it's gonna, you know, you have an i5 in there, or you know, just something that's not overclocked, and you have a decent CPU cooler on there, this case would work, and you wouldn't have to do anything else. You know, you wouldn't have to buy more fans, you wouldn't have to do any of that stuff, and it seemed pretty easy to build in as well. So I think it's just a good overall case for at that $100 mark. It's just that's what I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So check out Ryan's review. You know, and again, if that's like, that is the price for a lot of people, is that $100 for a case. So definitely check this one out. Four included ARGB fans in the tempered glass side panel and front panel. It looks pretty nice. So definitely check that one out. And we'll go to my review, which was the MSI RTX 2060 Ventus 6G OC. These RTX cards are all cards in general. Like, they're so long with their naming.
Yeah.
But this is their lowest end RTX 2060. By no means does that mean it's a bad card. It's actually factory overclocked. So the GPU boost is up to 1710 megahertz from the stock 1680. So a slight boost there. And we did test it against the stock RTX 2060, and it beat it not maybe like one or two frames a second, but you're going to get a couple more frames with that overclock. The card looks pretty good. I think it's a good looking card. There's no RGB on it at all, which I think maybe some people might actually like. No RGB on it. It does have a nice backplate. The backplate looks awesome, but the backplate's plastic. It's not metal, which was a little bit surprising to me. I think it's to keep the price. So this is only $10 more than the MSRP. So typically the MSRP cards are stock clocked, don't have anything real extra. A lot of them don't have backplates. You know what I mean? So with this, you're getting a factory overclock, a slight factory overclock. You do get a backplate. It is plastic. And you get a decent cooler. The cooling, the Ventus cooler that's on it is pretty good. Two cooling fans, and then you have a heat sink that has, I believe, 4 6-millimeter heat pipes, and they'll make direct contact with the GPU. So the cooling's good on it. We tested all that out. And just like any 2060 right now, as I said in the when we reviewed the Zotac one, this is going to be the gamer's card. This is going to be the card that a lot of people are going to buy, more or less for price. But what you're getting for that price, I think, is really good. If you're coming from like a 1060, this blows the 1060 out of the water. It performs closer to like a 1070 Ti. So that is basically 1080p gaming at 144 hertz, or 1440p gaming at pretty high settings, which I think is acceptable for a lot of people. I don't know. I haven't really looked lately, like what the most popular resolution is. I guess you could check that on Steam.
I think it's still probably 1080.
Yeah, it's probably still 1080.
I don't like this card's being. We're hearing 1440p a lot right now, and I think that's just because they're pushing these cards, these actually affordable cards, in that range. I never thought 1440p would actually ever be a popular resolution. I kind of feel that It'll skip from 1080 to 4K, and 4K monitors will just become super affordable, and we'll eventually have cards that run them.
I think the big push towards 1440 is like, really serious gamers, like getting the 144 hertz because you're not, and it's still, even the highest end cards right now aren't going to do 4K 144 hertz. Like, it's going to,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah. But as these cards are more affordable, like this card, 1440 will be kind of more of a standard. But yeah, I think that this next generation of cards, whenever they come along, because we just got these, recently. Yeah. This next generation of cards, we'll see, hopefully 4K be more of a standard. But I do like this card. I think a $10 premium for a slight overclock and a backplate. It is plastic, but it does look decent.
Yeah, and we would build acrylic backplates. We'd mod them. People still do. Paint them up. You're just not going to get any cooling performance out of that. In fact, you might have an inverse reaction.
Yeah, the cooling on these, I mean, the 2060s aren't getting super hot unless they're heavily overclocked, and this card isn't. So I think it's a good card. A $10 premium, I like it. Their next card up, I don't know how much their Gaming Z version is, or Gaming X, or whatever it's called. But that's probably closer to the 400 range. So they try to keep this card as close to the MSRP as they could, I assume.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's a good card. Another choice for a 2060 if you're going that route. And if you want to keep it as low cost as possible, this is the lowest cost MSI 2060 currently available. They don't have one at the MSRP. So $10 over, you get a good looking card and a slight overclock. If you've never done overclocking, this, it just works out of the box. So yeah, good stuff. On to our last review, which is a completely different product. And this product is actually incredibly useful. If you're an iPhone user, you know how much of a pain it is to take photos and videos off of your PC. iTunes for PC, like, it works, but then you like want to transfer gigabytes of data and like halfway through it fails, or you have issues, and then you have to go back and like figure out what photos were moved, because it doesn't move them in like the, like, you know, naming order like you would expect. Like, it's really stupid.
Well, that's to be expected.
Yeah. So this basically is a flash drive for your iPhone. It has a lightning connector. You just plug it in. It works with an app and allows you to bulk move photos and videos, or anything that's on your iPhone, and just move it over to the flash drive. And then you plug that flash drive in and you can just transfer straight across. This is like really great for people who take a lot of photos and videos, and like, space is a big deal. You don't get expandable space on iPhones, and like, you're at a concert, you're on vacation, and you're shooting something, and then you run out of space and you're like, oh crap, like, I want to capture this moment, but I'm out of space. And so then I have to go back and delete something that I might have want to keep.
Yeah.
So with this, you can easily just like bulk move stuff off. You can also capture photo and video directly to the drive, which is kind of cool. But the only downside to that is with the app. So I guess I'm almost positive this isn't like an Apple thing. They never give you full control over the camera. So like the photos don't look as good, and the video, like, you can shoot 4K at 18 frames a second, but you can't do 4K 30, which the phone is capable of. You also can't do 1080p 120 or 720p 240, which the phone is capable of. So it's like they limit, Apple limits like what you can do within another app with the camera, which is again stupid, but that's Apple. But in any case, it just makes it super simple to transfer files off of my iPhone, and I'm gonna use this to do my bulk transfers from now on. It just makes sense. It's so much easier. It allows you to, when you do transfer, it asks you if you want to keep those files on your iPhone or just delete them. So then I can clear out space easily. I can do all that. It comes with a nice little keychain holder, so you always have it with you. Super simple. Just a device that's needed if you're an iPhone user, especially if you're taking a lot of photos or videos. Not all that expensive either, and it just works. Didn't have really any problems besides like the camera. The camera in the app is not good, but that's not their fault. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just a cool device. I like it. Being a person who does take a lot of photos on my phone, you know, it just makes it super easy to transfer off. We reviewed the 64 gigabyte model. It's available in 32 and I believe 128 as well. The 64 gigabyte version is like $44. I don't think it's that expensive for what you're getting. And like I said, it just works. It's just simple enough and it just works. So yeah, check out that review if you're an iPhone user and you want to get some extra space and everything like that. But let's move on to Case Mod Friday, and we're not doing a theme build this week. We did two in a row. So we have an Inwin D-Frame 2.0 build. This case, we've done so many of these.
Yeah.
But I still think these look awesome. It's just a unique and really cool case. This one is black and gold, which I'm from Pittsburgh, so... but I do like, I mean, if I wasn't, I think the colors on this are really good. So the frame of this is painted gold, and then all the fittings are gold. Everything else is pretty much black, and there's a little bit of gray in there. The coolant is black. What do you think about this one?
It's a really good clean build. It's really, really polished, really well thought out. The tubing lines are... they're okay. I guess you couldn't do much with the memory to the mono block to the memory blocks. There's not a lot. It loses the symmetry there, but other than that, I think it's really good. The cabling on the back is really great. I love those cable combs have done so much for people as far as cleaning up the cabling. That's one of the better like dumb little inventions that have come out. The thing that really caught my attention first looking at this, though, is that they have EK blocks on their two Titan GPUs. And then I'm like, wait, why are there different GPU blocks? But they're not, right? Those are blocks on their NVMe drives, I believe.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah,
hold on. Let me scroll through. So I see the blocks on the GPUs.
They're Aquacomputer blocks.
Oh, are those NVMe drives? I didn't even see
so
that.
So I was like... Quad SLI with two different brand blocks. I'm like, it kind of works. Those, it's kind of really interesting. So then I went down and I was like, oh, they've also got
those have to be custom NVMe PCI Express,
right?
What do you call those? Just holders or whatever with the drives in there.
Right.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's a block that you never invented.
That's the block I always wanted.
Yeah, I know. That's the one that you were saying that was the one that you wanted. You know, you're like, I need to make one of those.
Design that. Yeah,
I need Aqua Computer must have it. Yeah, I think that's cool. And what's interesting too is that they are using EK blocks, but Bits Power fittings.
Well, I mean, no, I do the same thing, actually.
Okay.
All builds, but Bits Power fittings are like phenomenal. I think they are leaps and bounds ahead of EK fittings in my opinion. I like them probably the best on the market. The Monsoon ones are really good too, but EK blocks, I mean, dude, they're probably the best. It's hard to argue that.
This is interesting. He has EK blocks on the GPU and memory,
mm-hmm.
but he has Bits Power fittings and a Bits Power mono block for the board. And EK res, I don't know what the radiators are, but in all, I think it looks phenomenal. I really like the colors. It just goes together really well.
They're EK radiators.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I just think that everything goes together really, really well.
Yeah.
And looks good.
Well, and you got dazzled by the black and gold.
So. I mean, that color wave just by itself is a good, just in general.
Yeah.
And if it's done well, like if the gold was really off, or we've seen some builds where like the yellow or gold might be off, and it just doesn't look right. But I think he did a good job, and all the colors match pretty well. So
color matching is important.
Yeah.
So I found that block. It's the Cryo M.2 PCI 3.0 x 4 adapter. for M.2s, and that's exactly what it is. It's looks like a vertically mounted M.2 with a couple of ports on the top and an all copper block.
Nice.
It's actually really fantastic looking. What's 6790 in euros? So that's going to be EU to US. It's $77. So that's not real cheap. Yeah.
That's not real cheap. But I think it's cool. I think that taking the time to just do that, you know, do that little bit of.
That's sweet.
A little bit extra. So yeah, so definitely check this build out. Really, really cool. Yeah, I like it. It's awesome. So we also posted our 20 of the worst PC setups article for January, and some of these are bad. This is basically where we go on Reddit and find really horrible PC setups, and we show them to you. And some of them are people who are moving. Other ones are like really bad dorm rooms. Other ones are just people who are just disgusting and you wonder how they survive life.
Dude, ain't nobody got time to be clean.
Especially when you're gaming, right?
Oh, my God.
But it's always funny to look through and see these if you haven't. And you know what? Some of them, especially the past few that we've done, it shows like some people who are like deployed in the army or whatever, whatever armed service. And it's just like they want a PC game while like they have downtime there. And it's just like their setup that they have is just interesting.
Shooters and stuff, that is a major thing that people that are deployed that do. Like, you run into those guys online all the time in games. In fact, you even hear about, like squads using it for training, using shooters for training and stuff, too.
Yeah, so. We've seen a lot of that. There's a lot of these, too, where people just have, like, really horrible monitors. Like, they just haven't upgraded their monitor.
It's always the monitor. People with their trashy 4-3
square monitor.
Oh my God. S-Video running that thing, you know, trash like that. I can't imagine. Yeah. Can you imagine being somebody that trashy that rocks a monitor? Oh God.
So definitely check this article out. It's hilarious. It's just funny to see all the time. And we do it once a month. So check that out. But we'll move into news. And the big thing is that the Radeon 7 came out, and we didn't really cover it because the consensus was that it was broken more or less at launch. The overclocking was broke on it, the BIOS was broke on it, the BIOS is still broke on it. There's a lot of things that were wrong with it, so it was just like the performance was like kind of on 1080, but not great. It was really hot, like most AMD cards are. They're just,
Well, the power draw is 220.
Yeah.
No. It's 330, I think. This thing's hot.
And it just wasn't ready for launch when it was launched. Their driver wasn't ready. Like, it just as expected.
The tale is all this time.
I think it's something we might visit next week. But as far as like performance stuff goes, we're just not really going to talk about that. But there was one really interesting report which makes you think that AMD doesn't think this thing would sell well. It was reported that the UK, their allocation of these cards is only 100.
I thought for the entire. At first, I was like, it must be for like one company, right? This must be like one e-tailer. No.
We heard reports like a month ago about there only being 5,000 total. Like, they made a batch of 5,000 for launch, and that's it. And you would think for like, this is their flagship graphics card, 5,000? 5,000. Like, that's not a lot. But that might have actually been the case because the guys from OCUK, which is like one of the biggest enthusiast retailers for the UK, said that they were only able to get 44 cards and that there were only 100 cards available at launch.
And they had nearly for this card. They had nearly half the stock,
They had half the stock. This makes you think that AMD is like, okay, we'll see how well these 5,000 do and then we'll produce more later.
Or it's a potential HBM2 issue, perhaps.
Yeah, that could be it too. That I mean, that HBM has been an issue with AMD graphics cards since what, Vega?
Well, yeah, just HBM production has been an issue. Like,
in general, yeah. It's just odd. You know, I honestly thought this launch was going to be smooth as far as like issues with the card. You would think after all of this problems they've had in the past with drivers and things, and you know, not having enough, it seems like all of the issues with drivers and things like that, they're not, it's not being UFEI compatible, which means like,
oh yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, which is like such an oversight, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff with this launch has just been bad. And again, we maybe we can revisit it next week, but I just don't think, like, you know, all of the reviews out are on drivers that aren't like official drivers.
So you is know? Is there so, an official driver, or the official,
there is,
the real driver
it's
doesn't work? Okay, and so they're
so
they're on beta drivers and stuff.
Yeah,
probably more like alpha.
Yeah. So again, initially, performance is just kind of and it's hot,
and they didn't build any of them.
Yeah, they didn't build any. A lot of BIOS issues, a lot of driver issues, so we'll just wait until next week to talk about that. That's all. But we'll move over to NVIDIA. So we now have one confirmation, obviously, like official confirmation, and more details on the GTX 1660 Ti. This is going to be the card that goes below the RTX 2060. It's called GTX instead of RTX because it doesn't have any RT cores, so no ray tracing on this. And as you get to the lower end of the spectrum when it comes to cards, ray tracing isn't even really useful. I talked about it in my 2060 reviews. Even at that level, it's kind of like, why turn it on at some, you know, with some cards,
because you can't use it.
Yeah. So this will be a Turing card. A lot of people might have thought it would be something else. It will have 1,536 CUDA cores, 192 tensor cores, 96 TMUs, 48 ROPs. The clock speed, the base GPU clock will be 1500 megahertz, and it will boost up to 1770 megahertz, 6 gigabytes of GDDR6, 192 bits memory bus. So yeah.
So they're basically depending on the much wider memory bus and new architecture for improvements over the 1060.
Yeah, but this is
faster memory.
Yeah, faster memory. Same memory bus because they're both 192 bit. More cores, and a smaller process node.
Yeah. Interesting, so we'll that see. It has tensor cores.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but tensor cores were for machine learning, weren't they?
The tensor cores, I believe, are for the DLSS,
which is machine learning. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They do DLSS. I was kind of under the assumption that it wouldn't do DLSS.
Now, don't
quote
me on that, because honestly, I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
I have to go back and read my review.
Because I thought, I had just thought that the RT cores handled the DLSS as well, but
you could be right.
I could be wrong, though, too, so.
Yeah. But in any case, that's kind of the information that we know now, and that was leaked because the card was leaked on a web shop. And with all this information.
Okay.
But also, there were pictures of, or some renders, and somebody on Reddit was holding a box, holding one from Galax.
Oh, nice.
So this card, like, for everybody said it's not coming, it's definitely coming. It's definitely going to be called the 1660 Ti. We have renders from Palit and EVGA. So it's definitely coming. And again, this will be that segment. 3, 2, what did we say? It was like 249 segment, but in below, what these will be. So,
yeah.
And again, no ray tracing, again,
which is fine.
Not 100% sure on DLSS. But these are definitely coming. It's supposed to be in a few days, February 15th, which is what, Friday?
Yeah.
So we'll let you know Friday. Definitely just check the site, and we'll have all the information on all of that. But it's exciting. Like I said, I like having more options. You know, in the 20 series, you're only getting to the 2060, and that's still $349, and that's still a decent amount of money for somebody who's gaming on 1080p that might want something else. You know what I mean?
That's really, that's stuck at 1080p. I think this card, these cards should not exist, but due to the, I think, the pricing constraints, this is just where we're at.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of just where we're at. So talking about money. SoftBank, which is a it's a bank out of Japan, and they've always had like holdings in tech companies. They dumped their entire NVIDIA shareholding, valued at $3.6 billion.
That's a chunk.
Yeah, that basically says that SoftBank feels that NVIDIA is not worth it. I mean, that's pretty much what it means.
Well, they're anticipating a drop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Overvaluation, you know, maybe.
Things for NVIDIA haven't been good if you just look at their stock over the past, I don't know, 3 months.
Yeah, very volatile.
You know, RTX, the RTX cards, as we even said in our reviews, especially the 2080, disappointing for the cost and what you're getting over previous generation. You know, it just hasn't been that way. And the sales of the cards are down because we don't have the cryptocurrency stuff anymore, really. So they've taken a hit. I mean, they've taken a big hit. And I don't know how they're going to pull it around, because the sales of these RTX cards aren't amazing by any means.
They need to get the prices fixed. Will they? Probably not. I think they're delusional in that the market is... like at that point where like those are the prices that people are going to pay for cards. Like it's just not going to happen.
Some people are, but the majority of the market isn't, especially when you're used to a certain pricing. Like I get like, you know, 5 years later, like the pricing's a little bit higher, but like, you know, going, I don't know what the 1080 Ti launched at, but I mean, it wasn't 1200.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. It was more around half. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me check. But even the 1080 Ti was starting to get overpriced. They were already beginning, and then they rode the crypto wave all the way up, and then just like said, "Oh, this is where we're at." Like,
yeah.
Like no, that's really not. Let's see. Yeah. Your pricing is set for the enthusiast. And the enthusiast is what, maybe 1 or 2% of the market?
Yeah.
I don't know. Top of my head. Like, it's not the biggest part for sure.
Yeah. Oh, no, not by any means. You know, so it's just not. Things are just not looking good. While NVIDIA is still on the top when it comes to graphics cards, I mean, we both can say that.
Yeah.
Business, they're not doing very well. Their stock price is an indication of that and the way it's been going. And like things like this, like, you know, that's a lot of, a lot of investment to just drop.
Oh yeah. I think that the biggest thing about this specifically, this isn't them looking at like necessarily overpriced cards and stuff like that. They probably don't care too much about. This is probably more along the lines of, they're seeing bad trends within the company and they're reading signs and they don't want to be, you know, held out to dry on this. Cause that is a significant amount of money, and that's a lot of very angry investors.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I agree. So,
oh, by the way, the 1080 Ti launch price was $699.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
2 years ago.
Yeah. So $699
less than 2 years ago. Yeah.
$1,199, right?
Yeah, justify that real quick, please, NVIDIA.
And, well, the Ti does perform better, but, I mean, not by much.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, we'll move on to AMD. I just think NVIDIA is in a tough spot right now, and I don't feel like they're in dire need of something, but they need to make changes, and they need to fix... the lower sales, the you know, everything.
Their enthusiast GPU market or segment would be in serious trouble if AMD could get a card together.
Yeah.
Like very quickly. 100% agree. Very quickly.
Yeah. But we won't see that for a very long time. So
apparently not.
Yeah.
they definitely hyped and tricked us at CES. We're like, yeah. Oh, this is the Ryzen of GPU. Nah, not quite. Nah, this is ATI. That's all.
Yeah. So talking about AMD, and something that we are excited about is the Ryzen 3000 series. Yes. I think this is going to be, again, such a anticipated part. All these parts are going to be highly anticipated, especially with the success of not only Ryzen first generation, Ryzen second generation, Intel not having any clue what they're doing. So AMD will be holding a event they'll be part of GDC. And it looks like they'll be giving out a little bit of detail on the 3000 series. Obviously, it's not going to be like a big deep dive that we've seen in the past, but they will be holding an AMD Ryzen processor software optimization presentation.
Nice.
Which
very important.
I assume they're going to tell us a little bit more about what to expect with the Ryzen 3000. Again, not a whole lot of details, but we'll get more information, which is always good, especially parts like this that are already super hyped. We've heard 12 core, 24 thread, things like that, at good pricing too. So we'll have to see on that, but that's definitely exciting. AMD on the CPU side doing stuff great. On the GPU side,
not so much. Yeah, we'll probably get a lot of good insight into what architecture changes might have happened with between 2 and 3, which might not be huge, but that's the type of things like that we'll probably get an idea of.
Yeah, so definitely exciting, and that's happening in March, so we'll definitely keep you updated on all the information that comes out of that show. Moving on to cases, and a new case was recently announced by Raid Max, and it's a sub $50 case that has an infinity mirror on it.
Yeah.
Much like the case that's sitting beside me, which is the Inwin 805i, which is a very expensive case, and this one's under $50. You can see why it's under $50.
It's a Raid Max case, so
it's a Raid Max case. It's made of steel. But I mean, the infinity mirror for under $50.
Yeah. We need to see the actual photo, not these renders.
I 100% agree. But it is, I mean, again, like a lot of lower end case companies are sticking, while they might not be the best, like sticking RGB fans on stuff, putting some tempered glass. Like this has tempered glass side panel on.
Yeah.
Yes, and you can sub see $50. You can see that it's it only has room for an 80 millimeter fan in the rear, so it's definitely
tiny.
It's definitely a tiny case. I don't even know where you can get 80 millimeter fans.
Noctua probably makes one. The thing is, I don't think this case is even going to come with a fan. At launch, like sub $50, and you're putting like anything neat in it, you're not getting anything else. The question
is too, is like, how nice is this infinity mirror, right? Because again, these are renders. How nice is this infinity mirror? Like, it's ARGB, which is nice, because the one I have is only RGB. So all of the colors,
it's better than
you can switch the colors, but you can't have individual rows being different colors. So but
you could do some really cool light effects with this, but
I would just take the front off this and put it on
something
other chassis.
Just take the panel out of it. But I mean, if you're doing that, you might as well just build your own. It's not that complicated.
It's not complicated to build an infinity mirror. I think it looks cool. I think that for the pricing, if it's really under $50,
they'll sell a bunch of them. That's for sure.
Yeah. But again, just like we talked about with the FSP case, there's no airflow in this.
There's far less airflow in this.
Yeah.
Like, there's that exhaust, and that appears to be it. There is no other ventilation.
Yeah, there's no top cooling. We've seen that on a lot of cases. So bad ventilation, but something to show off, obviously, with the...
Yeah. I see a lot of overheated PCs coming.
Yeah. So we'll get into gaming now. This has been a big week for gaming. A lot of gaming news. The first one is that Battlefield 5 today they actually got the patch for DLSS. This is important because DLSS gives you so much more performance. You have to have, at least currently, you have to have a RTX card to make use of it. But the performance is awesome. I mean, this just, if you have a lower end card, this is giving you more frames, basically. It is NVIDIA's machine learning. It does work. We've tested it on RTX 2080 and 2060s. And it's great that it's just been put into the patch for Battlefield. Then you have it. One of the more popular games out there. If you have an NVIDIA card, enable it, and boom, you have more frames.
So I have a question for you. Benchmarking, performance comparisons. Do you take the DLSS results as the top, as like, this is how the card performs? Or obviously you're testing separately, but like when you're like this card versus this card, do you get to count DLSS?
I think what we test DLSS separately, right?
Right.
But if we were going to do a comparison, because with this game specifically, we would say, here's the performance of all the cards without DLSS. And then here's the performance with all the cards with DLSS, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The way we would do it before, I forget, what was that, Batman Arkham Origins, had physics, and you could enable physics, but of course you can only enable it on NVIDIA cards, so we never did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like with, when we test Battlefield 5 now, even though currently our test cards are all NVIDIA, I don't turn on any NVIDIA specific features, you know what I mean? So ray tracing is turned off, DLSS, well, it wasn't an option, but DLSS would be turned off too. And then we do a separate ray tracing test and a separate DLSS test.
Okay.
But it's
just, what about just your opinion though? Like the card does it generates those frame rates, right?
Yeah. So I think that, the way you would put it is to somebody who's, thinking about buying a card and they're going between AMD or NVIDIA, it's like, what games are you playing, right?
But what, they said, well, I don't know what I'm gonna play. I want to play Battlefield. I want to play Fortnite. I want to play Apex. I want to play everything.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that you could say, well, these games do have DLSS, and NVIDIA is making an effort to put these in, get this in AAA titles.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And in all honesty, right now, I mean, NVIDIA is kind of the way to go, not only when it comes to stuff like this, but driver support and everything like that. As we said, the Radeon 7 is just broken right now. And I just think you're getting more out of an NVIDIA card right now. So that would be my suggestion. But again, it's so hard to suggest a card to somebody, based on... like if you're playing Battlefield 5, it's kind of difficult. But at the end of the day, my suggestion to anybody right now is an NVIDIA card. While they are heavily priced, but I think right now, I mean, one of the, like I said, the 2060 is a great card right now for the price, with what all you're getting and everything like that, and that card does have DLSS. So you, all the games, I think there's close to 30 games now that do support DLSS. So definitely,
I just think there's not any other options. I just think it's an interesting conundrum that we're in now. Like, do we consider this to be real performance is really what it comes down to.
Yeah. Because it's just TXAA or anti-aliasing, but it's NVIDIA's version of it.
Okay.
And which uses machine learning.
It's figuring out what needs to be there before.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, if it gets more used, I like I said, a lot of developers are open to putting it in there. I said, there's 30 games now that support it. and a lot of bigger titles coming out that will. So
The best thing, the best case scenario is if they're using if they're using it the way they are now to develop it into something that does it without game support later.
Yeah.
That would be ideal. Yeah. And then obviously that's the performance of the card.
Yeah. But I don't think they will do that just because like they want you to buy their card and this is a reason to buy their card.
But if they bake that tech in and it works with all games without having the game configured for that specifically. I mean, wouldn't you just want that all around performance?
Yeah, but then, but again, you know, what if I have an AMD card? Then I just don't get it.
Well, AMD hasn't developed an AI that's predictive, so.
Yeah. So, but we'll talk about iOS gaming, and of course, the biggest game on iOS currently is Fortnite. And an interesting stat came out, which I thought was crazy, that Fortnite makes $1.5 million a day just off iOS sales. And again, this game's free to play on iOS.
Yeah.
It's all in-game transactions. And their transactions, the in-game transactions is all cosmetic. It has nothing to do with you can't buy a better gun, you can't buy better armor. It's all cosmetic. $1.5 million a day. And again, like I forget how many V coins are like you can buy a it's not super expensive, right?
Yeah.
And like to buy the battle pass I think is like $30 or something for each season. That's crazy. It's now the fastest iOS game to reach $500 million in revenue, beating out Clash Royale, which did it in 389, and Honor of Kings, which did it in 405. They did it in 326 days. Basically, they're basically printing money. And again, this is just iOS. This doesn't include PC. This doesn't include all the consoles that this is on. It also doesn't include... This is available on Android, right? Yeah. It doesn't include any of the other platforms. So imagine how much money Epic is making per day off this game.
It's the per day figure that really gets you. And can you imagine like any game manufacturer would be thrilled with these numbers for their overall sales, not just from iOS.
This is the sole reason we have the Epic Game Store. You realize that.
Oh yeah, because they have money that they don't know what to do with.
Yeah. That is the only reason. And they're like, well, we're going to keep this train going and we need, you know, this gives us the capital to do this, which will keep us going forever, like Steam.
Well, they took something that is the game is going to, people are going to stop playing it eventually, right? Games are a time limited commodity. So they took their studio that has to continue to produce new things, new creative things, or else it will fail. And they've built this like structure that just makes the money now. Like, and now they're just, you know, they're a retailer or an e-tailer.
Yeah.
You know,
it doesn't matter if it's not their game.
Yeah.
If it's being sold on the Epic Game Store and people are using it and they have enough people using it, it keeps them alive forever.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Steam.
Yeah.
They have not created a game for how long? What, Dota 2 was the last one that came out with, I think?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And
that gives you so much creative freedom, too. And just, like, you can back whatever project you want, even if it's, like, this thing that, oh, maybe this game isn't going to sell, but it's a passion, so I'm going to do it. It lets you do a lot. I mean, it potentially lets you do a lot. It doesn't mean they will, but you would hope.
Yeah, so... I mean, hats off to Epic. I still enjoy Fortnite. It's a fun game to play. It's just a
monster, though.
It's just, it's crazy how big it's got. I mean, that amount of money just on iOS is just nuts.
I think it says a lot about society in general that they've made that much money off of in-game cosmetic purchases. Like, that means that people are spending enough time playing video games and they value the way that they're like perceived in video games, that like it's almost like, I mean, it's not even almost, it is like real life. Like they are considering that to be their appearance in game to be just as valuable as real life because they're spending actual money to make a character look that way.
Yeah. And this totally proves, I mean, it's proved it for a while, but the free to play works. And when we initially, like, 3 or maybe even 5 years ago, when, like, the first couple free-to-play games came out, they're like, this won't work. This, how, like, in my mind, I was like, how is this going to work? They're not spending any money buying the game, but DLC and in-game purchases and things like that have worked. I mean, I remember when we, it was a couple weeks ago, we talked about the top Steam revenue, and Warframe is one of them.
Yeah.
And Warframe is free-to-play. Yeah. It's actually a decent game, too. It's free-to-play. But all the in-game items and things that you can buy, it's still making money, and it's been out for 3 or 4 years now, or maybe even longer. I don't know.
Yeah, and less. I can hate less on this model because it's cosmetic. It's not pay to win. Pay to win.
Yeah.
And pay to like continue to play is ridiculous. The crate craze is ridiculous. That's just gambling.
Yeah.
It's definitely a controversial like scheme, but like Fortnite shows that like you can do it without being skeezy and without like charging for the game.
Yeah, pretty crazy. So talking about games, the Division 2 closed beta was this past week. I think it was February 7th through the 10th or something. I didn't play it. I haven't pre-ordered the game. I'm gonna get the game, but I haven't pre-ordered it because I just haven't had time to play it. But during a stream of the private beta, one of the developers kind of let out that there's going to be an open beta, which is kind of nice. So if you're kind of on the fence about the game, there will be an open beta. It hasn't been announced yet by Ubisoft, but I mean, a developer of the game who was streaming said we're going to fix that in the open beta. So you can assume that it is coming. This is a game I'm really excited about. I really enjoyed the first Division game. It was a lot of fun, and I played it a lot. You know, and I kind of liked this game. I did like the storyline behind it and everything. It was cool, and it was fun to play. And yeah, open beta. So, you know, if you're... if you aren't familiar with open beta, it's free to play. And it's basically gives the developer kind of the ability to test server loads and fix, issues with that arise in the game and everything like that, and give it a real test before the actual launch of the game. So it's 100% free. I assume that they'll have like a sign up, or you can just like download it and then be able to play. So we don't know any details, but I would think that this beta would happen probably towards the end of this month because this game launches on March 15th. So probably in the next couple of weeks, yeah, we'll get
that in there.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'll definitely be playing the open beta for sure.
Cool.
So yeah,
I probably won't be playing. But no, what do you think? It has nothing to do with it being a good game or not.
Yeah, I know you're not one to get into that stuff.
No time.
Yeah. So, you know, Apex Legends is kind of like the big thing out right now. Yeah. But EA actually released their launch trailer for Anthem, which is not coming out for another 10 days. Typically, a launch trailer comes out like the day before or the actual day of launch. But EA decided to put out this launch trailer. I don't know why they put it out so early, which doesn't make a lot of sense. Maybe because like everybody and their mother is talking about Apex Legends. So, you know, Anthem is supposed to be like the what's that game called for Xbox? Anyways, the so, I forget. Halo? I can't. No,
I have no idea about this game. Sorry.
Yeah, it's supposed. I mean, this game's supposed to be really good. If you watch the launch trailer, it looks really good.
Yeah. I know that.
I know
they had a lot of server issues.
Yeah, they had a lot of server issues. You know, when they did their beta. But, or was it the Alpha? I forget. But in any case, they launched the trailer early, which is weird. I think it's because Apex Legends is just like...
Well, they got to, redirect the hype back to them. It's like in Apex Legends, like, dude, even the name is so, like, slightly similar that I think, like, people would confuse the two even. So, like, they really got to work on their, like, branding and attention again.
Especially if you want people to pay for... I mean, this is not a free-to-play, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, this is a game that you're going to pay for. And it is a single-player game.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, it's... I can't think of that name for the Xbox game. It was like the follow-up to Halo. It was like huge on Xbox. I don't play console anymore, so I can't even tell you.
Yeah, I don't play much either.
But it... But in any case, they launched it early. Go check it out. It looks like a good game. I would really want it, but I just don't think I have enough time to play that Division and Apex Legends. Yes, Destiny.
Oh. Well, you said Xbox. Like that's on all systems.
Okay, well, yeah. So, you know, that shows how much I know. but, you know, this is supposed to be like the Destiny killer or something. Okay. That's what people are building.
That is a whole different genre of player, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It probably will still have its attention.
So again, they wanted to get the hype back and everything like that. Obviously, Apex Legends, it is still the most streamed game right now on Twitch. They hit 10 million players in 3 days. They hit 25 million players in a week. Unique players. How crazy is that? That's really impressive. I played it. And it's the first game that I played like almost 4 hours straight, and didn't like want to stop. Like I wanted to keep on playing. But it was just too late. I had to go to bed. nice. It is a lot of fun. It's fun. Such a fun game. I like the mechanics of it so far. It looks like, you know, currently in the game, if you're not familiar with the game, you play as a 3-person squad, which I think works really well. Typically, the Battle Royale games are teams of 5, I believe. I'm pretty sure 5. So, you know, with this, you're teams of 3. But it looks like we might be getting solo mode and duos, which, you know, this game's going to evolve over time. That's how it stays relevant. Just like how Fortnite is. And one of the Fortnite data miners, this guy on Twitter, he's like really known for like finding like, you know, what they're going to add to Fortnite next. He went digging in the Apex Legends code and he found that there might be like it's in the code, like 2-man squads and solos. Yeah. It's in the code. But again, like it could have been in there from the beginning. We don't know when this is going to be added. I mean, it could be added a long time from now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but it's just something to look forward to because it's in there. Another thing that's really cool is that they announced their roadmap for year one of Apex Legends. So there's going to be 3 seasons or 4 seasons. One that starts in March, and then you have one in June, September, and December. And these are pretty cool because you'll be able to buy a battle pass and all that stuff, just like you do with Fortnite. And they'll be announcing, you know, new, you know, with season one, you get the battle pass. Season two, you'll get new legends, you know, new characters. Season three, you get new weapons and, you get new loot as well, and all that. So it's cool that they have like, you know, this all in place because I think this is a game that a lot of people are going to play and it has the potential to get as big as Fortnite and PUBG. And obviously that's a good thing for EA. You know, so
yeah,
you should get on it, man. You got to get on this.
I've played it before you.
I know, and then you didn't want to play with us.
I did, I ran out of time.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It is a lot of fun. It's one of those games though, like I tried playing by myself with like 2 random people, and it you have to play with like friends or at least people that you're gonna like have voice comms with because it's just
you get in there with other people and like when I got on I didn't really feel like talking to anyone I wasn't in the mood, you know how that goes, and it made things more difficult for sure.
Yeah, I think when you're playing with your friends it's so much more fun.
Yeah.
Learning
the characters is definitely key though too.
Yeah, like, I have like my one character set and that's just who I play as, so.
Yeah.
But coming into next week we have 3 reviews. I didn't get to it this week. I really wanted to, but I'll be finishing up my review of the Drevo Durandal. It is their like most least expensive RGB mechanical gaming keyboard. It's decent for its price, but we'll get into all of that in the review. And I'll also be taking a look at another RTX 2060. This is the Gigabyte RTX 2060 Gaming OC Pro 6G, another long name.
Long card.
This
too.
One, yeah.
It's a bit big one.
This
big
one uses their WinForce 3X cooling system as 3 fans. This also is overclock. So this is our highest overclock 2060 that we're going to review so far. Nice. It's the boost clock is 1830 megahertz, so we should see even better performance than the MSI card. Looks like a good card. Full backplate and all of that. So
cool. We'll have that. Full length PCB or...
Yes.
Okay, cool. I love that.
It looks like this is a full length PCB. I could be it looks like it is.
Oh, you haven't gotten into it yet.
I haven't.
Okay.
I took the pictures, but I you know, you're just taking pictures. Yeah. You're not. So I'm pretty sure the PCB is full length. It looks like it is.
I mean, they've got the power connector way out there, so it's got to be.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, so and then finally I'll be taking a look at an air cooler. It's the CryoRig H7 Plus. That's their tower cooler with two fans, so you can obviously do push-pull on that. It looks to be a pretty high-performance cooler, so we'll have all of that.
I like that. CryoRig makes good stuff.
Yeah, they do, and it looks good too. Yeah, like for a CPU cooler, it just like looks good. Yeah. They've done a really good job. So we have
CryoRig and Fentex, same people?
No.
No? Okay. Thought.
I don't believe so. Could be wrong.
Okay. Anyways, I think so.
I mean, you could be right. I don't know.
Yeah. Because I think the guy, he left NZXT, and I think he did CryoRig.
No, the guy left NZXT to start Fantex.
Because I think he wasn't supposed to, he wasn't going to do cases. I think he did CryoRig and then did Fantex because he wanted to do cases.
You could be right.
That's the story, I guess. Yeah, but
not specific.
Anyways.
Yes. Yeah, as we go along here. So we're at the end of the podcast. We are, of course, you know, at the end we talk about, you know, anything cool we did this week. You know, any tech stuff, any movies. Did you watch anything or see anything or, you know, do
Yeah, we went related? And my wife Emily and I checked out the Mule, which is, what's his name? Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood's latest starring role, director role, producer role. I'm not sure if he was all.
I think I saw. He directed. I think I might saw not a preview have produced, for this.
Yeah. You saw what?
I think I saw a preview for this. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So he's like, I think he plays. He plays a 90-year-old. Yeah, which he is. No, Clint Eastwood is. No, he's 84. So he plays a 90-year-old in the film, and he gets into drug running, and I believe it's based on a true story.
Yeah. Yeah, that because I was like, this is like, what was that TV show?
Oh,
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking Bad. Yeah.
Kind of had like a Breaking Bad vibe to it when I saw the preview.
Kinda, yeah, it's definitely if you've seen Clint Eastwood's other directorial movies, it's just definitely a similar feel. I'm finding with them that the as they're entertaining to be sure, but one of the biggest values is the. Perspective from somebody who is much older, and we have our generalizations about that group of people, you know, like what we think they think and how they feel and stuff, but like it's good to see things from different perspectives sometimes, and I think we're getting that with his movies.
Nice. Yeah. I'll have to check that one out. I didn't really do much. I tested stuff and tested graphics cards, and that's pretty much it.
That's about it. Well, I mean, you played some Apex Legends. So.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Apex Legends. Probably why I didn't get that last review. So, guys, that will, you know, we'll end things here. Hopefully, if you guys want to jump on and play Apex Legends with us, hit us up on Facebook. We'll have all of our handles on there so you guys can play with us. And as I always say, we'll have our full show notes page. If you guys were looking for the show notes last week, I put it in the wrong category on the website. I just realized that like yesterday. So this one will be on the right section of the page. So as you go through, you know, you can click through and get even more information. So until next week, catch you guys later.